Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you because your word is true. We are here again to be taught, to be educated, to be instructed in righteousness. We receive the word with meekness, and we are doers of the same. In Jesus' name, and the church says a big
amen.
So I began a teaching in the morning. In the first service, we are still in the morning on the way. And I'll titled it Energio. E-N-E-G-O. E-N-E-R-G-E-O. It's a Greek word that we coined, all right, from the statement of Paul to the church in Galatia. Galatians 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So here was Paul. He was asking a rhetoric question from the Galatians. He was questioning their ineptitude, their unbecoming, their unseeming behavior of drifting from the truth that he has taught them. So he says, "Oh, you foolish Galatians," in verse 1, have you been brought up in the spirit and to perfect it in the flesh? So he now goes on to say, "All those miracles you see me do by the spirit within you, did I do it by the conformance to the dictate of the law or by the hearing of faith?" In other words, it's a rhetorical question. He's letting them know that he did it by the hearing of faith. But you see, we're not teaching on hearing of faith today. We'll do some other day. But there's something he gives us to understand there. He says, "He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you." So the word "worketh" there is energio. So we say there is such a thing as the working of the Spirit. And it is something that is supposed to be our daily experience. Because God's desire is to walk through us. But a lot of believers have not been taught, have not been brought up, has not been schooled on how God gets things done through us. So in first service, I first of all established the fact that you have to realize that God has an agenda, and the agenda is to reconcile all of creation to himself. And I made them see that no creation on earth right now is functioning in its maximum capacity. The plants, the animals, the rivers. That's why you see waters are flowing beyond their boundary. It's because they are all so tired of the corruption. They are tired of the problems in the world. The reason why you hear of tornadoes, they are not the act of God. It is the earth responding to him being tired of the status quo. Because this was not the original design that God made the earth. In the book of Romans 8, you can give it to me. Let me just go through it with you quickly. But I want to encourage you to get the first step for first service. Romans 8 verse 18, Apostle Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Then in verse 19, he says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature," that means creature, creations, "they are waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." The context of our manifestation here is when we get new bodies. So even all of God's creation, do you know why? Because we, man, we are the crown of God's creation. And when man fell, everything fell. Don't forget in Genesis when God divided, all right, the land from the water. He called it, he got the grand place, he called it grand land, earth. He called the water side river, he called it sea. But nowadays, we see river overflow its banks. Scientists tell us about ozone layer being depleted. They tell us of the weather change and all of that. That was not God's original plan. That is the element of creation responding to its tiredness. When you hear of tornado, you hear vroom, they're just tired. They want to be delivered. And on we, who is the crown of all creation, our deliverance is what we set them free to. And I'm talking about deliverance of being saved now. I'm talking about deliverance of our body. I'm talking about we having a glorious body. Our own salvation, our total salvation. You see, let me tell you, salvation is a totalitarian concept. You were saved, and that salvation took place in your spirit. Your soul needs to be renewed. Your soul is not saved automatically. You have to renew your mind. You have to align your emotions and your will to the word of God. It's a conscious effort you do. Then as for your body as well, your body has to respond to the leading of the spirit and the teaching of God's word. And at the end of the age, God will give us new bodies. Aging is not God's plan. Growing old is not God's plan. Having malaria is not God's plan. How can you imagine a big boy like you with a nice head putting on nice perfume and one little rascal flying in the eye, with six legs out there making you lie down someday? He brought you plasmodium, injected you with malaria. How can that little rascal, you were supposed to rule over that thing. That rascal is supposed to rule over you. But sometimes it does happen, you have to go get, Coartem. You have to go take some malaria drugs. That's not God's plan. And as long as we're in this earth, Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:21, he calls this body our body of humiliation. He humiliates us. There are times you don't feel like you should be tired, but you just get tired. Why? Nature. Why? Because we are using a debased body. This is not the body God created in Genesis. The body God gave us is meant to last forever. But good news, God is giving us new body. In that time to come, there will be no need for wearing mascara, underground, foundation, powder, different kind of things. Everybody's going to be fine. Because we're all going to look like Jesus. Everybody's going to be beautiful, fresh body, resurrected body. But that deliverance of our body is what will set creations free as well. So Paul is saying, for the creature was also made subject to vanity, not willingly. Plants didn't like the way they dry up too. Animals didn't like the way they go sick too. Waters didn't like the way they overflow their bank too. They cause all form of flood. Or flood, as you call it. Hurricane, wind misbehaving, making people lose their property, their hard-earned money all their lives. It's not God's plan that earthquake happens. This is the response of the debased earth to its tiredness. So it says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. You have to listen to first step to understand this. I won't go over it. Verse 21. It says, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. All of God's creation are corrupted. They are also wishing to be delivered from their corruption into the liberty of the children of God. Our liberty will come at the close of age when Jesus comes to give us new bodies. So they are also waiting to be delivered. Then verse 22 tells us, it says, for we know that the old creation, can you see, the old creation, plants, water, they are groaning and traveling in pain. Anytime you see that there's a tornado or there's earthquake, it is the earth responding. They are tired. They are groaning. Do you know the Bible says in the book of Hebrews 9 that a time will come, God is going to close this earth like a cloth. A new heart will come down. This is not God's original plan. Where we have different variations here and there. He says, and they travailed in pain together even until now. Verse 23 now tells us. He says, and not only they. That means not only water, tree, hair. He says, even we. But ourselves also, which have the fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. To wit, the redemption of what? The redemption of our what? That's why you feel sick sometimes. Your body is responding. I need a new body. Sometimes some of you want to pray. You feel you should, you wish you could pray 24 hours, but you can't. If you pray 24 hours, Zakamutu. You want to enjoy that presence, but your body can't carry it for long. Why? Because this body is debased. That's why I believe death, of course, at old age, is God's way of showing mercy to man. I don't have time to show you all of that. I wish I had time to show you all of that, but I've said this several times before. In Genesis, man would die physically because God, in his mercy, will want man not to live forever with his body. Imagine, have you seen a 100-year-old woman before walking in pain? Imagine living that way forever. So death will come so that in the new Jerusalem, God will give us new bodies. That body does not grow old.
We're all going to be fresh and young. 1,000 years will look like a minute because there will be no time. It will be timelessness. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Now, nobody will enjoy all these things I'm saying in the afterlife except they have received Christ. So, including all of God's creation, God wants to reconcile all of them to himself. He has an agenda. And he can't do it by himself. Because Psalm 115 verse 16 tells us, it says the heavens, even the heavens is the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the sons of men. The children of men are the one controlling the earth. So, if God is going to get anything done, he has to do it through you and I. So, he walks through you and I. So, as an individual, you have a specific assignment, specific purpose on earth, specific reason for existence. But that won't become a reality except you cooperate with God. I understand religion makes us feel like God is all powerful, he is all wonderful, which is true. He can do all he can do or whatever he wants to do, anytime he wants to do. Not true. He can't do what he wants to do anytime he wants to do. Many times we stretch the sovereignty of God, all right, above and superimpose it on the will of man. But no, the will of man works, all right, in pari passu with the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty can't act alone on earth. The will of man has to be involved. For example, God desires that all men be saved. But are all men saved today? Come on, talk to me. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4. He says, he desires that all be saved. But all are not saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. He says, he does not desire the perishness or the perishment or the perishing of the wicked. But he desires that what? That they will be converted. He says, God is not slack in what men call slackness, but he wants all. All. But do you know the what? Not all are being saved. Some are dying and going to hell daily. Why? Their will is involved. And God does not force anything on any man. So even you as a human being, God has some things he wants to do on earth through you. And he will only do it by you responding. So this teaching series, I'm teaching you how to know how God gets things done through us. Energy. He infuses the ability into you. How you have to learn it systematically. See, the things of the Spirit can be learned systematically. There is no mystery in the kingdom of God for the believer. The Bible says, Jesus told the disciples, says, it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. How does God get things done through us? I've seen believers who sense God is trying to do something through them in one way or the other, but they lack the technical know-how. I will also help you with some of that in this teaching. So I want you to pay attention to this teaching series, part 1 to 8. This is part 2. First service is part 1. You know, in this church, we do a continuous teaching in part 1 and part 2. We don't repeat what we taught in part 1. All right? We just continue. So the good thing for you is make sure you get the previous part or you get the old part and listen to them again and again. Thank God for media. Cornerstoneglobal.org. You go in there and you get all the tapes and you're going to be blessed. Say loud amen. Amen. So in second service, energy, God is predictable and organized. He may use many avenues, but his MO are not mysterious. You see, God is predictable. I know this I'm stepping on some people's theology. So the ways of God are without understanding. They are past finding out. Oh, my ways are not your ways, said the Lord. Oh, I'm far from you. True. And that's why he's showing us his word, to show us his way. The Bible tells us that his acts were made known to Israelites, but his ways he made known to Moses. If he made his ways known to Moses, he makes it known unto us through his word. Psalms 103 verse 7. Can you see that? So God is predictable. He can be trusted. That's why we can have faith. God does not have mixed profile. He's not up and down. He does not undulate. He's perfect. Unchanging. That's why we can trust him.
because we know the end from the beginning. So his ways of doing things are documented for us in the Word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's Word is an instruction manual. God's Word is used as a tutelage material to lead us, to guide us, to teach us, to bring us up, and to tell us how things are done the way they ought to be done, to get the right things we ought to get when we get the things done the way it ought to be done. Teaches us what to do, how to do, when to do, where to do, with whom to do, what to do. So God's Word is an instruction manual. So how does God get things done through us? Many of us live all our life living in oblivion of this. And this is so important. So I showed them a scripture that I did not go deep in for service, which is what I'm going to put a light on right now. And I want you to put all of your heart and your minds and make sure you project your understanding. Now I pray God give you understanding in Jesus' name. Look at the book of Philippians 2 verse 13. It's a good place to start for second service. Philippians 2 verse 13, it says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." It is God. Somebody say, "It is God." Say it louder. Say it louder. So one of the ways, among many I want to share with you in this series, one of the ways God gets things done through us is through this. I wrote it here. I said, divine deposit of his desire. Write it down. I'm going to continue next week. That's number one. Divine deposit of his desire. You know, God didn't create robotics. He made us a free moral agent. That's why that rascal man, Adam, could choose not to believe God. Because God made him a free moral agent. He didn't make us robotics. He gave us our willpower to express. You see, God, let me tell you something about God. God is not insecure. He believes and he knows that I am your creator. Listen. He believes that you cannot express your will above his sovereignty. He is God. That's why he is God. Amen forevermore. I said amen forevermore. So you see, I want you to read from the Amplified version. He says, Philippians 2 verse 13 Amplified. He says, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing you and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." Because God doesn't want to coerce, what he does is he will drop his desire in your heart. He wants, you know, I told you God has a mandate. He has a plan. So whatever he's doing at the time, he will put the desire in your heart so that you will nurse it, incubate upon it like a hen, and then you'll be able to hatch it. But guess what? He is going to be there with you from the beginning to the end. Yoruba will say, "Oromoni share fire tea." That means what he is saying is, God is the only one that sends a person and goes with that person to carry out that thing. So, how did he do that? He put the spirit within you. So that spirit within you will keep on feeling that desire. A lot of Christians don't know. They are praying, "Oh God, show me. What's your plan for my life?" But each time you see a baby, your heart goes out to helping the baby. Each time you see, that's a pointer to some of you all right, you, when you see a teenager, all right, who doesn't know Jack, going here and there, your heart goes so deep for them. Maybe God is telling you to reach out to the teenagers. Maybe you have a ministry in the teenagers. That's how God gets things done. He put desire in our hearts to nurse. Are you all listening to me? And this doesn't have to wear the cloth of religion. God can call you to actually reshape the culture scape. And some of you, God can even make use of the situation and circumstances. God is a master of all things. He can use circumstances as well, many times. I know of a lady who is in this church. She hasn't resumed. She has a business before she came to school, but she's already having the business before she came to school. So she's in a particular LOB, that line of business that she's doing. So she told me about it, and I'm like, why are you doing this business? Because not many Christians venture into this. She said, growing up, by her experience from her home, she didn't like the way daddy and mommy relationship went sour. And some of the things she felt is that though it is completely spiritual, you have to understand anything in the physical has a spiritual control. But there are some things that she feels were just carelessness, which is not enough a reason anyway for that's what happened in their family to happen anyway. I don't want to give you the story. But the point she wants to make is she feels mama always tie a wrapper all the time. 3 days she ain't gonna bathe. Thank God, God didn't give me such kind of wife. In fact, have you heard this saying? Somebody tunleche, somebody baleje. She's the one that tunleche. That means she's one. She likes everything. If you remove the Bible, she'll say, that's not where I put it. I'm the scattering guy. Praise God forevermore. But guess what? I used to think I was organized until I got married. I found out that my organization was still low. But you see, in her case, she said, mama just lives scattered life. Doesn't wear no perfume, nothing. Just, and you know, there's a way you can be so busy with wifing your husband, mothering your kids until you forget about yourself. Women forget about themselves. Even when they pray, oh God, my husband, oh God, my children, oh God, they forget about themselves. And that's good. God made you that way to be selfless. Doesn't mean men are selfish. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So she thought to herself, you know what? I'm going to start selling lingerie. She said, I have a vision to build network of malls for lingerie. And that she's going to be having a reduced price, if possible, 50% slash for mothers. I said, wow, what a vision. Let me tell you, look, God has used me to save a marriage with that. I lived with a couple before. So because they know I'm a pastor, I just live with them for a few times. So the wife confides in me a lot. So she came to me one day, she said, Pastor, I don't understand my husband. For the past 8 months, he hasn't touched me. I said, okay, I'll pray about it. As I was praying, I was hearing in my spirit, guy, nothing. Nothing is wrong. Because I was trying to search in my spirit. If there's any demonic this thing, let me take authority. No demon, nothing. I said, what is it, Lord? And the Lord began to show me. So I called her the next day. When the husband went to office, I said, take me to the room, to their room. For the first time, I saw their room. I said, okay. I said, turn on the light. I said, you have to change this light. I said, two, there's a way this place smells that, you know, you have to turn. It changed the blinds. I said, and secondly, since I've been with you guys in this room, in this house, the kind of clothes you dress, you are in your early 20s. I'm older than you. At least I remember then I'm older than her by 4 years. I said, but look at the way you dress. All right, always on wrapper. Okay, you have to change the way you dress and all of that. As I speak to you, they've had 2 babies now. The following month she took him. She came to meet me and she said, Pastor, your prayer work. I said, come, I didn't pray. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I only showed you what to do. So some things, all right, I'm not going to lie, some things are spiritual. But some things also are just negligence. Come on, are you following what I'm saying? So you can imagine now, if there was nobody imagine if she goes to a shop of somebody of that person I spoke about now, sells lingerie for her, because I told her we'll get lingerie, all right, get into the room. You can't be all covered up inside the room. Do you know what I'm saying? So I told her, these are the kind of things, all right, that you have to. Am I a bad pastor? All right. So now God put that desire in that lady's heart to be selling those things. Now she's repairing marriage. So what I mean is, it doesn't have to be in a religious context, as it were. It could be in your office. All right? Just get things right. So God gets things done through us by putting a desire in our heart. I want to read a scripture to you. In the book of Ezekiel 36, 26. In fact, this is the testimony of salvation. All right? Ezekiel 36, verse 26. He says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Metaphoric heart of flesh means an easily entreated heart. All right? 27. He says, and I will put my spirit within you, talking about salvation, and this is what will happen, and I will cause you to walk in my statue. So God has a plan. He has a line. He has something he has planned already. He wants you to walk in it. So the first thing he will do is, he doesn't, because you know you are not a robotic, that you are programmed. So what he will do is, he will put the desire in you so that you will desire what he desires. So that you will carry out his desires. God wants to use you, all right, as an avenue to execute his plan, his agenda in the earth. But the problem is, you know, my wife was sharing with me about programming because I don't, she has knowledge about, I don't know, I'm not. So she was explaining that, do you know that, for example, if you want to write, I love you in a programming, you won't write, I love you. There's nothing like I love you. It's like when we were in school, computer science, if you did some computer science in university, you know, they told us about, binary numbers, right? So it's only 01, 01, 01, 01, 01, 01, 01, 01, 01. So there's a way you'll be writing it, all right, like codes. But what you, so, for example, if you have an app, all right, if you open an app and they write welcome, it is not welcome the coder wrote. He wrote some codes. So now, God's desire is spiritual. Now, the problem is, a lot of people sense when that thing is downloaded into their spirit, but they don't know how to translate it into earthly usable forms. Because it is not garbage in, garbage out, like computer. Where you see F, you write F, you see M, you write M, and then you see it on the screen. What you typed is what you... No! It's a spiritual signal, desire. So many of us, because we are not well taught, all right, we don't cooperate appropriately to join God and help God fulfill his will on earth through us. Let me give you an instance. When I was young, and I'm still young, when I was younger, that's the right word, I'm forever young. I wanna be forever, all right? So, growing up as a kid, like this young guy now that you see, that's the way I was. If somebody is sick in the house with malaria, with fever, or anything, I will go there and cry. I just had the desire to eat, to see people sick. So when I grew up, I told myself I would be a doctor. That was the only way I could translate it. I wanted to be a doctor. So I had the opportunity to come to ABU to study medicine. My parents said, no way. You've gone to spend 6 years in your elementary school as a boarder in the north. Do you want to go back to the north again? No way. But Obafemi Law University is offering me a course I don't like. Mommy said, well, that's what you're going to do. Well, I picked it up. How many of you know what I'm saying? African children. All right? So I picked it. But desire did not go. I later found out it wasn't studying medicine. It was a healing ministry. I noticed that each time as I began to know the truth, I go out, lay hands. Sometimes before I even lay hands, while talking, people just, somebody just remove crutches. Somebody at my back, I'm saying, I'm just preaching. I just realized, oh, I see. So there was a kind of satisfaction that comes from within me that say, oh, it's a healing ministry. Can you see that? So sometimes translation of the desire that God put in us can be wrong. I give an example of a man called Moses. Turn your Bible to the book of Acts. Let me talk to you about Moses. Acts 7:23. I'm showing you how God gets things done through us. Acts 7:23. The Bible says, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart. Oh, I want us to read Acts 7:23. Everybody louder. 3, 2, go.
It came into his heart to visit. It came into his heart. It came into his heart. God put the compassion to check out his brethren. But what happened in verse 24? You can see it was God. You see, he came into his heart as a desire. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. You all know the story, right? You know that Moses was actually a Jew at a time when children of the Jews were being killed because there was a plot of reducing their number. So they were killing the children, the male children, so that there would be no reproduction. Because the king then felt that they were increasing too much so that they can have enough power to overpower them and keep them in slavery. But this one, the mom was smart. Oh boy, there are smart mothers here in Jesus' name. So she put her in a basket. The Bible says by faith she put her in a basket and put it on the River Nile in Egypt so that one of the pharaohs will come and, you know, pharaoh's daughter will come and bathe. And as she was bathing, she saw the baby and then she took, incidentally, she was there eating. She now said, who can help me take care of this child? So she took one of the persons she saw, not knowing to her or to the pharaoh that it was the mom she was hiring to take care of the baby. So now this boy, in fact, I read a theologian by the name Josephus, one of the most respected Bible theologians. All right. His name is Josephus. He's the one that told us the centimeter, the meters, and the length of the curtain in the temple. He's such a detailed man, Josephus. He said, in fact, he mentioned the name, I've forgotten the name of the woman, all right, of the, he said, Moses was actually trained to be the next pharaoh because he was brought up in the palace. That's why the writer of the book of Hebrews says, Moses, when he came of age, all right, he esteemed greater riches in Christ than the enjoyment of the palace. I will teach on this some other time again so that you get the implication of what Moses did. It was felony. It was like you coming against your dad. Because Pharaoh was the dad he knew. He was raised in the palace as a prince. So, I mean, what does it take? You were brought up in the palace. But the desire for the Jew is still in your heart. You didn't get it. The desire for their freedom. You know, I was talking to a senior man who is a senior person to me. He came from the same department I finished from 19 years in Tabal. I pray he listens to this tape. I'm going to send it to him. All his family is in the U.S. He shuttles U.S. and Nigeria. My wife knows him very well. In fact, he's one of our mentors. His heart for how things are done is just glaring. He hates the way things are done, even in the church. I mean, when I mean church, I mean the universal church. I told him, I said, maybe this is God leading you to be part of the organization. He said, I'll pray about it. I'll think through it. Because sometimes you don't know, sometimes the things you resent is God putting a desire in you to make it right. This is how God gets things done through us. He put the desire in you. Because some of you are waiting for God to just show up. My daughter, I have come now. No. Look at it. He, seeing one of them suffering wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. So he thought, look, he sensed a desire. Don't forget, God, he says it came to his heart to go and check on those people. Are you listening to me, church? On the other side of the palace, working hard, making breeze stone, making blocks, his kinsmen. And one day, he saw the Egyptian treating the Israelite guy anyhow. He took, don't forget, he's a prince. He's been trained war. Don't worry, I'll teach you some other day. Do you know princes in those days are not princes like you are prince? When they give birth to you, they will hand over you to governors so that your father will now readopt you. That's the concept of adoption in the Old Testament days. That's why David said, when I was my father's son.
That doesn't make sense. When I was my father's son, what's the meaning of that? In other words, when I was in the palace before I was handed over to the governors. That's why in Galatians 4, Apostle Paul used that analogy to preach between law and grace. When he said, look, when we were children, we were given to the governors and tutors. Who will train you? They will train you how to use sword, how to use, some of you, I don't know, the kind of movies you watch. Don't you watch 300? How many of you watch 300? Let's not get spiritual now, all right? Let's talk. Look, stop seeing all this movie where, you know, you are just looking for that place where your eyes will come out. Then you start eating popcorn fast. You know, stop all those movies. You're just building energy for what you are not prepared for. That's why as a guy, you finish watching such a movie, everything stands. Then you're now looking up and down. Everything that we're scared. You stop misbehaving. If you want to watch a movie, there are good movies that can educate you. Men Who Built America. These are movies. See, these are things, the accountant. Equalizers, Denzel Washington. Watch good movies. I'm not a movie freak, right? But if I want to see movie. Not all, and some people, that one is African Magic Igbo. Hey, Ebu Kaba, Omodioa. And I say, that's how all men are. Now you are 40, you are not married. They are all on social media, ladies, painting different perspectives to life. All men are cheats. Every man has propensity to have, to like to see two girls. Now lie. Not me. Not your dad. Not you. I'm definitely not cornerstone men. All men has come. You mean including me? People come to such conclusions. They fed on stuff. If you want to see movie, I mean in movies like, you know, Odyssey, come on. Clash of the Titans. I'm looking at cake now. Let me say at this pastor Jassy. Look, let's see. Let me tell you. When I look at some of, because we are in a stone environment, when I see some guys, you know, sag, you know, just, I just look at them and say, even before I go born again, this one is not smart. Chain, all those things. I leave those things. I know all the track of Tupac then. Camelonia. Some of them, I'm praying to get them off my head. I have not gone. Please think they could see me laying empty, so who intends it to be seen? That's Camelonia. They see me rolling. I mean, they hating, patrolling. They try to catch me riding there. They try to catch me ride. There was a day I was going with one of our ministers when Uber in Abuja. It was me and Minister Upak. Somebody slotting something. I was gone before. I said, when I caught my, I said, did you hear anything? He said, Pastor, I did not hear anything. I've wrapped myself out. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's an hero. I mean, changes. I would wrap the, listen. So when I look, I said, this thing is not profitable. There is a life in the Holy Ghost. Come on. I've tasted it too. I'm telling you by experience. Ma, you need to connect to that tape, the God life, the practice of the God life. So this is how God put desire in your heart. But unfortunately for this Moses, he thought the way to carry out that desire. He thought, he knew he would be a deliverer. In fact, he was called to deliver Israel, the Jews, from the tyrannical rule of Pharaoh. But he thought the way he would do it was by killing them one by one. So your desire can be right and your methodology can be wrong. Praise God forevermore. So he smote the Egyptian. Look at verse 25. The Bible says in verse 25, come on. He says, for he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them. Such assumption. But they understood not. Verse 26, come on. He says, and the next day he showed himself unto them as they strove. So the next day, he saw them fighting again. And he wants to set them apart. He says, guys, we are friends. We are brothers. Don't fight. Now he saw two Jews now fighting. So he was trying to separate them. Like, you guys should not be fighting against yourself now. Yesterday he killed one Egyptian and buried the guy in the sand. Why do you do wrong against each other? He's trying to settle the fight. Look at verse 27. That one now give him a la. But he that did his neighbor wrong, trust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? 28. Will thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? That was when he knew that, hey, he don't cast. Everybody will chop breakfast. Hey. He knew that means what he did yesterday was not in secret. If Pharaoh heard it, he is done. What was his next response? He fled, he jackpa. And that made him waste 40 years of his life. 40 years. It's not been so. So that's what happened to him. This is the experience. You see, I told you, the Bible, there is nothing. Oh, if you understand this book, this Bible, it will make you a success. And I'm not just talking about success in spiritual things alone. In every area of your life. Let me just. So, God will usually stir up in our heart the initiative of giving expression to his will. He will always tear it up in our hearts. So one of the ways God works through us, get things done through us, is desire. Desire. You know, I remember my wife and I were gisting, and we're talking about some of old friends who, you know, were just like, it's amazing how growing up, all right, as she has, you know, Splinter, me as, as a bachelor. It's amazing how some of our contemporaries, our friends, the one that are ladies, the ones that desire to always want to marry a pastor, they end up not marrying a pastor. And the one who always say, they end up marrying a pastor. So I was just telling her, I said, it appears to me that many of them just don't know how to interpret that desire. Why did they want to marry a pastor? Because they feel they have a sense of doing ministry. Now, who told them? Culture has told them that because they are women, they can't do ministry without a man who is also ministry person. But what you simply need is a man who has ministry conscience. Listen, if you marry a good man who attends a church like Cornerstone, who has been made to understand the major purpose of man on heart, if you are a full-fledged, full-time minister as a lady, your husband will not hinder you. There can be many Joyce Mayers in this world. Are you listening to me? Whose husband is not doing ministry and Joyce Mayer is doing fine. So you see a lot of people don't know how to interpret the visions of their heart. So there's that problem too. But there's also the problem of those who don't even recognize that God is leading them in a particular area. Some people are just, God forbid, quote and unquote, dull in their spirit. Every time you enter a public vehicle, you always feel the urge to preach. But you never did. Until one day when you did, after everybody came down at the park, one guy came to you and says, you were talking to me today. I was about to go and kill somebody now, but your word touched me. And you just aborted a murder. Then it dawned on you that, wow, if I have not preached, so that guy would have gone to kill the other person. Wow. I just saved a life. Are you listening to me? Then it dawned on you that, wow, I think I will start doing it now. So why didn't you do it all this while? You were waiting for a specific, spectacular show of angel from heaven with wings in his hands. I have good news for you. God doesn't necessarily have to be spectacular. He will put desire. He will infuse the desire in your heart. Some of you, when school was on strike, you refused to go home. Why? The primary reason why you didn't go home was because of church. And you are still waiting for an angel to appear to you that you have a call to do ministry, to assist in ministry, and serve in ministry. Not necessarily full time, but to be involved practically in ministry. You are still waiting for an angel. Why are you wasting your time? He has put a desire in your heart. Some of you are in, among the company of friends, and you see friends saying things like, this life safe. Person don't know what to go. Person if he die tomorrow. Can he come? Person no. Person if he marry wrong self. Person if he marry a guy. And you get nauseated. You feel like, and you have this pull to want to teach that time. You always feel like taking away ignorance from people's minds. You don't know. That's a call to teach. Can't you discern the desire God is putting in your heart? So, I haven't gotten the desire. What do I do? Let me just give it to you quickly. Time is fast spent. Whew. How time runs when friends are having fun. Whew. So, the book of Ecclesiastes 11, I want to show it to you. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11. Huh? Can you give me some more time? All right, let's run. Ecclesiastes 3, 11. King James says, he had made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he had set the world in their heart. I would like to give it to you from Amplified Version. Ecclesiastes 3:11b. It says, he also has planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. Then he now put it in parentheses. It says, a divinely implanted sense of a purpose, walking through the ages, which nothing under the sun but God alone can satisfy. A desire. It's a desire. That's how God works. So God in his sovereignty will put certain void, a desire. Look, the restlessness that is in the all these dancing halls and all these clubs is a void in heart that is unfilled. Some search for love, which they never get. Some don't know how to interpret this thing. But God put this void, and it's a void that the only, see, it's a purpose-sized void, a purpose-sized space. Nothing else can fit. Because it has been designed to only fit purpose, reason for existence, desire. He put it in your heart. Some of you, all right, a lady woke up to me one day. He said, Pastor, I don't know. I was in church as we were preaching. My heart just goes on to that. Most of these are teachings. Wow. How about if we start turning it into books? I told her, come and see me quick. You are talking the spirit. Can you see that? Some of you, of course, I'm not talking about people who are extremists. Some of you, when you see a write-up, sometimes you read through it, you see a lot of error. It's not see to that. This is supposed to be plural now. It's supposed to be compound. It's a leading in a particular. And not necessarily because we're studying English. But you just like things to be done well. So now, in a church, how do you serve with that? How do you channel that desire in an organized body of organization under God? That's why church avails you the opportunity to express your desire in something of an eternal value, in an eternal enterprise that will give you eternal reward, a reward that will surpass this earth. It is not as if it's only in the heaven alone you enjoy that reward, though. Here on this earth and even in the afterlife. A lot of people don't know. So how do you fill this void? I'm just going to run through it. Number one, you see, when God put that void in you, the first thing he wants to do is he wants you to bring that desire back to him in prayer. See, one day I will teach you about this God. We've done teachings on that, but there are some things, more things you need to know. Listen, God is the most jealous being in the universe. Very jealous. He doesn't want nothing to compete with him in your heart. And definitely nothing to compete with his own desire in your heart. And he does not also want you to go ahead and self-sabotage it. So that desire, as he put it in your heart, he wants you to bring it back to him in prayer. You know, let me tell you, proud people don't pray. So he believes that when you come to him in prayer, you are showing weakness. See, prayer is a place of showing weakness to the only one whom you can show weakness to, and yet he will not see you finish. He's the only one. So when you go to him in prayer, you are showing how weak you are without him. God likes that. And God will smile, correct? Can you see that? So you see, number one is, you take that desire back to him in prayer. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. He says, look at it, let me show you. Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Are you there? He says, call unto me. Now, why is he asking me to call unto him? He says, and I will answer thee. And I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. But he wants me to call unto him. Did you get the game? You didn't get it. I don't know if you got it. He said, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto me. He wants you to call unto him. Pray. It's a show of reliance. Now, we are fasting and praying as a church. You have to thank God for a church that has designed, that is so concerned about your spiritual welfare. We have designed, this month is our fasting and prayer, cornerstoneglobal.org/OTR, October to remember. Log on in 6 a.m. every day. Join prayer, 30 minutes only. Some people are too proud to pray. And that's why God is also too proud to reach out to them. Hallelujah. Number two, the next thing, therefore, is engage yourself with appropriate training. Engage yourself with appropriate training. And appropriate training will always come with specific consecration that is necessary for the fulfillment of that thing. I mean, if you are a shepherd, you must learn people's skill. You can't just talk to people rashly. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So he walks through us by time is fast spent, and I've repented of my sin this year. I said I will not take more than the time that the church gives me. I've repented, so I'm just going. I'm almost done now. So he put the desire in your heart. How many people will have desires in their hearts? I'm talking to five persons here specifically. This thing, let me tell you, look, let me close, look. Look, you are header running with a vision, burning with a passion, or going on a mission. If you don't belong to any of these things, life is nothing but burden. You will just be a life of, I want to eat this, I want to buy that. Have you seen people who are so vain? They always think about, they know the next 2023 Range Rover Sport. They know the latest, they are so vain. And that has been the energy they disperse, pursuing earthly things that will ruin, that will... Look, I went home not long ago. By the grace of God, I lived in one of the best places you can live in Ibadan. We grew up there. But my parents have moved to their permanent house now. They've left that place, a GRA in Ibadan. But that one, we still own it. So my siblings are living there. They just go there once in a while. So I went to that street. There were some houses then that as a young boy, I used to feel like, wow. Or more, I will build this house. Now, if you dash me in those houses, I will say no. If you dash me, I will collect it, I will sell it, bulldoze it, and build something different. I have a new taste now. What does that tell you? That even architectural designs of houses, they change. There was a kind of car that people, there was a time, ask your parents, there was a time if you had that soon. There was a time I was pressuring my dad to buy Bluebird, Nissan Bluebird. You don't know. I was pressuring daddy to buy Nissan Bluebird. Then he was driving Peugeot 504. I said, I like Nissan Bluebird. Now, if you give me Bluebird, I'm going to sell it to the trash guys. Bluebird, what am I going to do with that? Dino car? Now it's Porsche. But Tesla has brought another one now, electric cars. Very soon, somebody will do a car that will be running on water. Later on, one day, somebody will do one that will be using poo-poo. Are you kidding me? I mean, biogas. What are you talking about? Don't forget your pastor is sound. They are biogas, poo-poo. Your poo-poo, oh, that poo-poo, they will get gas from it, and it will not smell. They will, people cook with it. In this country. See, look, that tells you that nothing is constant. The only thing that can bring satisfaction is things of eternal value. That's the problem with guys who sleep with 5 girls. Say, man, I slept with 10 girls this week. I'm a big boy. You are a foolish boy. Say, man, I feel like, man, the thing they do me like, man, you wake up in the morning, you are thinking about girls. See, men, guys, now then they rush me. Look, let me tell you, look. Why they are rushing you? Maybe you have some kind of desires in your heart brewing up to reach out to others, ladies. Maybe you're an evangelist. And you are attractable. Have you seen some people that before they preach to you, you just like them? Have you seen people just come around them for no reason? In a class of 50, 30 people just like that guy. It's not because he's exceptionally fine. Everybody's fine, but, I don't want to cause trouble. But, you know what I mean? Like, just, you know. But it's not as if he's naturally fine in that sense of, when I mean fine, I mean flashy. All right, don't go and take my contest. All right, but everybody just come around him. That guy now, if he's a mumu, he will now start playing games. He'll be sleeping with this one, sleeping with that one. He's supposed to know that is God telling him that, hey, people coming around, give them the word. Let people, God is bringing them to you because there is something they need that you have. Give it to them. Let them pass through you refined. You are the salt of the earth. What does salt do? Salt brings the flavor in a food. You are not the pepper of this world or the sexer of this world. Or the womanizer of this world. You are the salt of this earth. Am I talking to somebody here? This is how God gets things done through us. He put desires in our hearts. Desires. Strong desires. You hate to see. A friend of mine went to the prisons and he told me, he says, Pastor, there are a lot of people in prisons for no reason. For no reason. So what should that do to you? Study law. Get empowerment. Start fighting the cause of the poor. Start fighting the cause of the needy. And when you do that, you preach the gospel, they will be glad to receive. We all love Martin Luther King today. Somebody say, but me, I don't want to die like Martin Luther King. Let me tell you one thing. Purpose is one thing. All right? This is the paradox of purpose. The paradox, paradox now, figure of speech. The paradox of purpose is this. The day you find the reason for living, you won't mind dying for it. You didn't get it. This is the paradox of purpose. The day you find the reason for existence, which is purpose, from that day, you won't mind dying for that thing. How many of you got the paradox? That is the paradox of purpose. Search the desires of your heart. Search it. That's why any Christian who is not doing introspection, you must analyze your passions. Analyze the desires of my heart. God put desires in our hearts. For some people, they just feel the desire to. For some people, all right, they don't like to. They say, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be involved. I don't want people to be seeing me. You are failing God. You are like that mumu that went to hide his talent. The parable of talent that went to hide his talent because he felt it's just one. After all, some people have two. Some people have four. I can't sing, but you know, since me, I'm not like Pastor Sandra, I don't even want to sing. I know they will shame me. Don't be a mumu. Don't go and bury what God has put in you. My wife wrote something last week, one of her newsletters. She said, everybody is doing it, so who cares? Go ahead. But purify it. Check it. Because that's one way God gets to do things through us, through you. Desire. Let me close with this. How many of you, I don't want to start that one again because I'll take another time. I remember when I was in school, I would wake up in the morning. I would just be kicking everywhere in my room. I'll kick my shoe. I went to get all the cities of God's general. Read them. Spitwiggles word. MacPherson. Amy MacPherson. Kitchen Coleman. I read them all. Something burning, a burning desire. Sometimes I wake up just dissatisfied. Sometimes I'll ask myself, did I eat today? Oh, no, I ate yesterday. No, it was the first day I ate too. Okay, no, I didn't eat yesterday. Because I just lost taste. Food become loathsome to you. That burning passion, burning desire. That's how God gets things done through us. Because we are not robotics. He needs us to put our will. So that's why Paul says, he is that work in you, giving you the willingness and the enablement. He will drive the desire into you so that the desire will drive you into prayer. So that you say, God, this desire in my heart, I can't do it. Help me. God will say, you have come now. And then he will now energize you. He will give you the power, the strength. Like Jeremiah, he will call you out. And says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you as a prophet. Then again, you will still express your mumunes. You say, I'm but a child, I cannot speak. God will say, I know. See, and that is the perfect definition for the graciousness of God. See, the grace of God is the utter helplessness of man. And the sovereign intervention of God. When you come to zero, when you know you can't do it. I remember a movie I watched many years ago, Tyler Perry movie. The title of the movie is I Can Do Bad by Myself. Then there's this little rascal woman. The mom is passed on, but the woman is a Baptist. Used to sing one song. The church is not far from their house. She was a hard-time smoker. She's a bad girl. She's a lady of the streets. You know what I'm talking about? Then one day they were singing that song that the mama used to sing. Then she broke into tears. Oh, God, I want you to help me. Oh, Lord, I need you to help me. Help me on my journey, so help me on my way. Oh, Lord, I need you to help me. She struggled for help. For some of you, you need to get in your closet. Maybe you've been misinterpreting that desire. For some, they don't even know how to decode the desire. For some, they don't even acknowledge that desire is there. But prophetically, I quicken callings today. I quicken graces today. I quicken anointings today. I quicken dead desires today. As the heart pants after water, so my heart pants after thee, O God. That's what the psalmist says. He says, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all day. I remember there was a day I would finish a book in one day. I didn't know God was building my capacity. It was a desire. I didn't know I would be a teacher of the word. Now I can pull out things from my residual knowledge. I can teach from one scripture and I'll be quoting several scriptures, right? Residual knowledge that has been stored in for many years. I didn't know God was building my capacity. Hallelujah. Let me end with this. That's why some of you, I feel so sorry for you. You are misusing your singlehood. You are so fixated on her. Hey, oh God, somebody's son will find me someday. Don't be a mumu. Use your singlehood well. I was telling my wife yesterday, I said there was a time that I would just say, I don't want to see anybody in my room. I'll just lock the gate, the door. For a whole day, 24 hours. I don't want to see any human being. I want to read, study, pray. Now, I can't do it. If I want to do it, I have to take permission. Okay. Some of you, during strike, you were the master of remote control in your house. That was all you did. Don't waste time. Time is not to be wasted. Time is to be used efficiently. I love you. Were you blessed? Father, we thank you for this truth. We'll be establishing this truth.
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.